Hey guys, this is Table for Four. This is your boy Stefan, and welcome back to another episode on the podcast. Yes, it's been a while, but we are back. And stay tuned if you want to listen to other episodes that we'll be releasing. But anyway, we'll be focusing on internet safety. And Agent, can you tell us more about this episode?
Of course I can. What's going on, listeners? On today's episode, we'll be talking about safeties and dangers of the internet and discuss the importance of safe practices while online. Are you guys ready?
Yes!
Cue the music.
It's Stephanie.
This is Andre.
This is Adrian.
This is your boy Stefan.
And this is
Table for Four,
a family conversation podcast.
What is going on? It's been a hot minute.
We're back.
We're finally back, and it's 2023.
Hello. Exactly.
And it's already February.
Already. Goodbye, 2022. Goodbye, 2022.
I know. So, guys, we're going to be talking about internet safety. Yes. So, let's just jump right into it. We want to talk about all the different things according to internet safety. So, well, the first things we're going to be talking about is going to be giving you tips on how to promote internet safety through a family tech contract. And, you know, we'll be just sitting down and we'll be discussing these best practices. Then the next topic we'll be discussing is the darker side of the kid-friendly game Roblox.
Yeah. Now,
so I know you guys are really good with Roblox, but I know. What were you going to say, Stefan?
So, yeah. Roblox is basically an online platform that requires internet, obviously. But anyway, it's an online platform that allows you to play with all your friends. So you just create an account, put any username you want, create a strong password that only you would know, obviously.
Right.
Again. But yeah, you could play thousands of games in just one game. But yeah, there are some scammers which will try to get your password.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these obbies, and they just say, free Robux, like in the name. They don't ask you to put in your username, which sounds normal, but then they'll ask you to put your password in. So you'll get hacked after that because you put your password in.
And you're not right, because this is why we have to talk about the darker side of Roblox, because we do have those scammers out there.
Right.
And this is, we're going to be showing about investigative reporting from IGN. And then we're also going to be talking about the black market. We're talking about phishing. We're talking about predatory behaviors that are related to Roblox and gaming. We're also going to be talking about the possibility of TikTok bans.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that all into consideration, let's get into it. What is your understanding of internet safety? Let's see. Who wants to take
it? Who are we picking?
You go first. Okay. What is your understanding of internet safety?
So my understanding of internet safety is to keep your account safe from hackers by putting a strong and secure password and two-step verification. So two-step verification would allow you to get Google Authenticator or any other authenticator, and it'll generate a backup code in case you can't get into your account.
So when you have a Google Authenticator, that is an app that allows you to have the two-step verification
process.
Yeah, so it'll give you a code.
Uh-huh,
so yeah, if you want to enable it, you have to download Google Authenticator or any other authenticator. And then after you just have to log in, but then you'll have to be brought to a different page. That'll say to go to Google Authenticator and copy the code there. And then paste it.
So this is like the two steps in order to make sure that your password is safe. I got you.
Yeah, so that means hackers never be able to hack into your account.
Right.
Because they don't know the backup code.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
So it's basically a secondary layer of protection.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And what is your understanding of internet safety, Adrian?
Well, I guess I would say the same, because like two-step authenticators is very useful. But me personally, I don't really use it often because obviously I wouldn't want to share personal information or like IP addresses or credit cards or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend like two-step authenticators if you are prone or like exposed to like a lot of scammers, people you don't trust, and a lot of unknown things that you can scourge across the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Roblox, you can have two steps authenticator, so no one can log in.
And what about social medias? That applies to social medias as well, right?
It applies to everything.
Yeah,
it applies to everything. Social media, Roblox, games, it can apply to even the smallest little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can
mm-hmm.
apply to, who knows, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, it can be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, any application pretty much nowadays is the standard for two-step verification.
So when we're thinking about internet safety, there is a great document. I don't know if you have the document, if you can pull that up. Let's go over it together. And I think this is just tips and understanding of what it is for great practices when on the world wide web. So the first thing we want to talk about is called the Family Technology Contract. So this is a great document that was from parentstogether.org. And I'm going to list that on the show notes and as well as the documents for everything on social media as well. So the first section, it talks about safety rules. I won't share photos or personal information with people I have not met in real life. So what is that saying? So if you've never met this person in real life, mm-hmm. in RL, you don't want to share photos mm-hmm. or personal information, right? So the next safety rule is I won't add, text, or interact with anyone online I do not know, which makes sense, right?
Right.
Next is I will ask blank. Now, the reason why this is blank is because it could be a grandparent, it could be an aunt, it can be your guardian, it could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be your sister. Anybody that is older, anybody that's there to make sure that you are going online safely. So you will ask blank before I download any apps on my phone or tablet or et cetera. Okay. Now the next rule, it says, I will not share my location on any apps or devices. This is something that's very, very important because what you don't want to do is share your location because again, you don't want to share any personal information with nobody you haven't met in real life. Now, another safety rule is I won't respond to threatening emails, messages, post or text, and I will tell an adult right away. Again, it's always super important that when you are on the internet, and if you're not sure what's going on, then always let an adult know. The next one is I will tell an adult if I see anything online that is inappropriate, that makes me feel icky, uncomfortable, nervous, or afraid. Again, this is another sensitive subject that sometimes there is offensive content. That's content that's not safe for kids, that you definitely don't want to show, definitely don't want to share it with any others. But that's also very important to let your parents know. Also, I will use only a screen name and won't share passwords. I cannot emphasize this enough when mm-hmm. it comes to safety rules. Adrian, would you like to read the family rules section for me, please?
All right. Family rules. I will immediately answer calls or texts from my parent or other family members.
Huh?
What do you mean? Huh? Because that's Stefan. Stefan doesn't answer any of his phone calls or his texts. And I don't want to hear the excuse. I don't have do not disturb on. That is no excuse. Because you as a child and you're taking care of them.
Mm-hmm. How? They take care of us. I don't take care of them.
That's
I do always have my phone on do not disturb.
But you shouldn't. Right,
but you shouldn't. You should only have it. You should have it off when you're in school. And then when you get out of school, take it off.
We got to change his settings because we have to do emergency bypass for us.
Oh.
So that way when it's do not disturb, our messages come through.
Gotcha. Okay. So again, always answer texts and calls immediately. What's the next?
Second rule. I understand that my device are a privilege and that can be taken away at any time.
Let me emphasize. Let me say it repeat it to the people in the back of the room. I understand that my devices are a privilege and that can be taken away at any time. Now, again, always make it your priority to understand that your devices, access to internet, anything of that sort, it is a privilege, not a right. Now, if you're a journalist, that's something different. But as a young child, you want to make sure that you understand that it is a privilege when using these devices. Stefan, can you read the next one for me, please?
And the second rule, I understand that my devices are a privilege that can be taken away at any time.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Your phone's been taken away.
Plenty of times.
But yeah, we understand that it's obviously a privilege because without our phones, we couldn't be able to call, game, text, or whatever kind of things we do on our phone. Like Stefan, if he didn't have his phone, he wouldn't have Roblox. I mean,
right.
He'd be sad. Obviously, right?
Yeah. Okay. Third rule, I leave my phone in the kitchen, in my room, in my parents' bedroom, somewhere where it can charge each night.
And why is that important? Because you don't want to go to school with a dead phone. Just in case you need to get in touch with anybody for emergencies, you want to make sure that your phone is charged.
Right.
So I just gave the boys external batteries so that they can leave them, well, external battery chargers in their book bags so that in case anything happens, that you have something to charge your phone with.
Because I keep forgetting to touch my phone at night. I'm sorry. It's just that I don't charge it, mm-hmm. and then I just leave it. I try not to, use it a lot during school or after school, but like, I don't like use the battery so much to the point where I can't call you guys, and then if I don't know where you guys are.
Other online purchases, Astoria.
Okay, family rules. Online purchases must be approved by parents, guardians, like whoever you trust or.
Well, basically, it's mommy and I.
Yeah.
We're the account holder, so.
Yeah.
You guys are the guardians of.
We could restrict all your purchases because we get an approved notification
without getting it approved.
But that's a way, that's another safety measure to make sure that y'all are not just buying these online apps.
Because if y'all get like 15 notifications, like, ooh, all right, $16,000 virtual jewelry.
Right. And that's not happening.
No.
And that has happened to other parents. So you must, parents, please make sure that you have some sort of safety way to prevent your children to purchase online apps. And that's for the little ones that might press a lot of buttons and accidentally have access to your credit cards and buy $15,000 worth of anything or 20 SpongeBob ice creams from Amazon.
Yeah. Have so you ever experienced that before?
Nope.
With us?
We don't want to.
We don't want to.
I hope not.
We don't want to.
Okay. Next one. The games, apps, platforms and I'm not allowed to use or at home or at someone else.
So this rule in particular, it's more you can adjust it to however the household is. So if there's any games that you are not approved to play for or any apps to download, you make that as part of your contract when you're going through the rules. So let's say somebody might not like you playing Roblox. So it's like, okay, there's an agreement. You guys are not allowed to play Roblox, not in my house or in somebody else's house. Again, it's just establishing boundaries when it comes to internet.
It's understandable.
But there's no problem with Roblox. It's just
we're just saying if somebody doesn't agree with it and somebody might not want you to play it. Yeah. I'm not saying us in particular. I'm saying there might be other parents out there that might not agree for you to play Roblox. And that's one of the apps or the games that is not approved to be played in the
Sometimes they might have trust issues or they might have like an encounter with Roblox that they didn't appreciate or they just don't want their child on games that they don't trust.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Continuing on with the screen time limits. Andres, would you like to roll with that?
Yes. Screen time limits. The first one is I will use screens, except for school, no more than blank minutes per day.
So again, this is a rule that could be flexible. It could be changed during the contract. You can make the establishments or the boundaries for that particular in terms of screen time limits. For us, screen time limits are really, it used to be you turn off the screens at 10:30 and then they wouldn't open again until 6 a.m.
Yeah, so I used to restrict all their apps and phones through, we have Apple phones, so they have a screen time app where we could restrict everything, their phone usage, their apps. So I would do it from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Right.
Monday through Friday.
And then Saturday they had a little bit of freedom.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they could use whatever they want.
I think there was obviously a problem with that because I think some of the stuff that you guys restricted kind of avoided me. It was kind of too restrictive.
Right.
Like, but you can never be too restrictive in anything, I think. But I think it was just like the apps that you guys were like avoiding, like that included anything, like right, even text messages.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like you guys stopped anything from like online contact with the world, even with you guys. It was kind of hard to do anything.
Well, everything's not a perfect science, but that is, again, setting a boundary and setting a hard line when it comes to screen time limits.
Next one is, I will use screens no more than blank minutes per day on weekends. This one is...
This don't apply to us.
Yeah, this don't apply to us. Because we're on the screens all the time.
So the next one, it makes a little bit more sense.
Right, the next one is, I will turn off all devices by blank PM to support healthy sleep.
We're going to say 10 PM.
Yeah, 10 PM is
10 PM is good. That's a good slot.
But again, everybody has different schedules. Everybody has different needs.
Just different work times.
Yeah, different work times. So if you have little smaller kids that, you know, don't need to be on the screen for so long and they have an earlier bedtime, again, this is something that's really for older kids because this is them having an understanding and them reading the rules themselves. So that is kind of flexible.
Right. And then the next one would be, I will never use any device while I am driving.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you're reading this section.
Well, it's for the GPS purposes.
No, it's not.
No, you just put your phone on
the we're going to put you on your spot.
Or look at Instagram posts for like a quick 5 seconds.
Right. And
but I'm at the light.
Doesn't matter.
You always have to be cautious.
I will be more cautious.
Yeah, because when you're driving, like.
All right. The next one is. Other places or times when I will not use a device include at the dinner table and 1 hour before bedtime, in the bathroom. The bathroom should be like 10, 20 minutes tops.
I've been there
like 10, 15 minutes.
No, you're not. I am the quickest one in this house.
She's not wrong. She only uses her phone like once and like every like.
I'm in and out the bathroom because I'm there to do my business.
You, however, always use your phone.
Y'all always on the phone in the bathroom.
And he says he doesn't hit that long, but then he still uses
his phone. He's a liar. What?
I'm a liar.
You're a liar, Panther.
I pop, drop, and stop, and drop.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Listen, I take my ducks to the pond, and that's it.
No, you don't.
Also, you're not a mother. You're a father.
Exactly.
Adrian, would you like to continue with the next set of rules, please?
We also have other rules as well. One, I won't be mean, spread rumors, or make fun of people online. Now, this, for me, is a very hard thing to do online.
To do or not to do?
Very easy to do in real life, very hard not to do online. Because I think Roblox is like the one place that I will make fun of anyone. I don't care how old they are.
You're saying everybody on Roblox is fair game?
Yes.
Well, this is... Yeah, online, listen, I grew up with technology and we grew up with the invention of game chat and party chat. We used to talk smack all the time back in the days. But it's just been more moderation in it now. They're monitoring because they have moderators that listen. And now these kids are soft. The minute you say, I'll beat the crap out of you, I'm going to teach you a lesson, boom. They'll
scream at you.
They'll flag you and they'll report you and then you get banned.
No.
Yes, it does. It happens on Xbox a lot.
Yeah, but you've gotten banned for so many times. And you care to explain?
I've only got banned twice.
Yeah, and this knucklehead got banned twice too. For what?
Said something I was not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
That was only one time, and I got banned for doing something else. I don't know.
Okay, but this is the thing, right?
Moderation.
Right. So if we're trying to understand what it is when it comes to online gaming or things of that matter... The point is not to be malicious, right? Think in the back of your head. If this person was standing in front of me, would I have had the courage to say the same thing to their face?
Yeah, but we're also going to allow you to say that.
No, listen to what I'm saying. If you had the person in front of you, would you say?
Hell yeah.
You would.
Me,
no.
Yes.
No.
No.
I think that the difference...
No, right? No. You wouldn't,
The
right?
difference is also, that Roblox in real doesn't... life is that in real life, you have the character feels more real. But in...
That's not called real life. What are you saying?
But online, there's no consequences to your actions.
So. What do you mean there's no consequences? You get banned from the game.
You can get banned for saying something racist, some, like inappropriate. Yeah,
something inappropriate.
Inappropriate, yes. Something that's racist.
Yeah, but Roblox doesn't allow you to see that things like F-U-C-K.
Yeah, but what I'm saying.
A-S-S-A-S-S-A-H-O-L-E. Okay,
but what I'm saying is, will you be able to say the same thing to a person that you were to see in real life as the same person that you say online? I say that they like to hide behind the screen because people out there are really bold and they really say things that they probably would never say in real life. That is the point that I'm making. So you don't want to be mean. You don't want to spread rumors and you don't want to make fun of people online because that is just borderline cyberbullying. You don't want to do that. Again, we understand that the internet is a privilege. Using these devices are a privilege. Do not use it for malicious reasons. And that's why it's so important that the parents take that into consideration to monitor your kid, what they're saying, to who they're saying, and how they are saying it.
Yeah. Listen, but there's nothing wrong with taunting. If you want to call cyberbullying taunting.
No, they're not taunting.
So there's levels
of cyberbullying.
That's not taunting, though.
I know levels of cyberbullying.
But a lot of people are confusing cyberbullying with taunting all the time. You know, because back in my day, we used to taunt people all the time. Like, yo, you suck.
That's not really cyberbullying.
No,
you probably talk smack on cell phones.
Right. They talk smack. But the thing is that people take that into consideration. Now they're taking it and they're running with it. Because people are either super, super sensitive or they don't want to be spoken to another way. They feel disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference. There's levels when it comes to cyberbullying. If you're telling somebody you suck, it's because you have 0 points on the board. Bro, you suck.
Right. And back in the day, I'm going to give you a perfect example. If somebody said, yo, bro, you suck. And if I say, just like your mom.
Hey, yo.
Exactly.
Right. You would just say, what would you say?
I would get reported. Nowadays, I would get reported.
Absolutely.
You probably get banned for saying that.
Exactly. Back then, no holds barred. You can say whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. On Roblox, when they added a new voice chat feature, you can actually say curse words, and they don't do nothing about it.
That is.
Well, it depends on the curse word. You know,
Even if they say ASS or FUCK, they don't know nothing about it.
I'm going to be honest, I've used voice chat multiple times.
But then here it is, the freedom of speech. This is the thing now. We have to understand with this amendment that freedom of speech should not be limited when it comes to online gaming. But again, there is levels when it comes to talking to individuals. If you suck means you got zero kills, you have 0 points on the board, zero skills, and then I'm not demonstrated. That means, bro, you suck. And it's like, oh, I'm like your mother. And I'm going to say, well, don't be mad because you can't play. You have to come with a comeback.
Just like your mom.
Well, you can't say that because then that will get you banned for like inappropriate
comments. Yeah.
So if there's if they're monitoring you, which everything is being monitored, at what point do you continue with the online gaming or any type of internet, whether it's through chat, through internet, Explorer?
Most of Roblox is through chat. Because, like, I mean, there's a lot of games that have voice chat. Like,
a lot of the games do have the capacity for voice chat and messaging and stuff like that. I gotcha.
But let's think about, like, base Roblox.
Roblox
before voice chat actually happened. Voice chat? Because, like, before voice chat, like, things got, like, a little out of hand. People started saying a lot of words by bypassing words, by using, like, little, like, words in between, like, the curse words to make it seem more subtle.
So it started making creating more words.
They're getting creative. Mm.
Or different lingo.
Like, so they can say in either different languages, different ways. Like, they find so many ways to find out to say that one word.
They would probably curse in Russian.
And we wouldn't even know because we don't speak Russian.
Yeah, because you don't understand what it means.
But that's the point, guys. When it comes to these rules, we're trying to make sure that we're not trying to post anything online that I wouldn't say in person.
We can't really
basically what it is. That's basically what we're saying.
Well, you can't really post on Roblox, but on Discord, you can.
So we'll get into that.
Well, Discord, you could type whatever you want. It's a typing thing, and you could do voice chat, party chat.
There are servers.
Discord, yeah, right. There's more. Discord is more like a party chat thing.
Yeah.
Or world.
Oh yeah, and if you say something that's like sexual, they don't really do anything about it.
Right, because it's like a chat.
Yeah.
Right.
But if Roblox, if you said that in a Roblox server,
yeah, you definitely get banned.
Your behind is getting banned for like 7 days.
Yeah. But here's the thing. When it comes to these certain rules. Let's continue with the next rule. So the next rule says, I will ask people's permission before sharing photos or information about them online. Again, that fits under the category
of consent.
Of consent. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And I know
consent. Can we give him a round of applause, please? Pretty please.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah. This is so important. Consent is such a big thing when it comes to online. Such a big thing. Another rule that we have here is I will not share, like, or comment on hateful, discriminatory, or mean posts. Because if you're liking those posts, you're promoting what? What is it that you're promoting?
You're like promoting like racist or discriminative thing.
Mm-hmm. And we don't want to do that, right? Because why? We want to have safe practices when it comes to online.
Let me give an example. For example, I say like, I don't like the president, or I don't like this race.
Well, that's
you like that specific video. That means you kind of like condone that. But like in reality, other people might not think that, or like most people might not think that. So it might not be the same way. It's like, ooh.
Is that different from an opinion, or is that different? Because the thing is that when you,
an opinion is an opinion. You can't deny that.
Right.
But it can be a hurtful opinion that no one like. That like the general consensus.
So it could be something like that's really offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but on Discord you could say literally anything.
You can say something, and that's the thing.
Yeah, you could say something.
So there's no censorship.
There's no Discord.
No. There's no censor. You could say something racist, but
and it's not censored. This rule in particular saying that you should not participate in any of those type of posts that you know personally that you would not want to say.
I never said something racist.
Right. And you want to really continue with that.
Nah, I would never do that.
Well, that's a good thing.
I am kind of mean, but I'm not like that, man. I wouldn't say something racist.
Right.
But people at school do say so.
They do?
Yeah.
See, but then again, you don't want to promote that type of hateful posting and things like that.
I haven't done that.
And Adrian, can you read the last rule for us, please?
Of course. If I make a mistake online, I will ask for help so we can fix it. That, I think it's kind of hard for me to do, like, in general. I, like, struggle with asking for help because I either get too nervous or too embarrassed to ask for help, which is never a bad thing to ask for help, but I think just asking for help for me is, like, a little scary.
Is it because you have that attitude of yours?
No.
Or is it something?
No.
So what is
Why would you feel embarrassed? Why would you feel embarrassed?
Because if I'm like around people or like talking to the person that educates me or the person that, mm-hmm. that knows me well, I feel a little embarrassed because like if I sound uneducated, like how would I sound?
But that's
like,
why you're asking questions.
But that's like, why you come to the people
that know the subject
or they might not know about it, but they'll do their best to kind of help you and answer questions.
Like right. I asked today, which is like probably like in like the first time in like probably like a really long time, mm-hmm. I've asked for help for like certain subjects. It kind of helped me a little bit. I got some work done and I got some extra stuff that I kind of didn't know I needed. So it kind of helped me a little bit. But I still kind of.
How does that pertain to internet though?
The internet, I think it also applies as well because if you have a close friend or a family member that knows the internet, like you guys, it would help to like know about it. So if I make a mistake, or like, I gave someone my password. How do I change it? Or like, how do I do this? Or something like that. You can ask for help, and then you can get help immediately. So like, kind of like a security thing.
If you ask someone for help, they will probably just find a way to hack into your account because you're
really someone you trust, though.
No, we're talking about somebody you trust.
It's because if you told them your email, then they will probably like gain access to like your emails and stuff. But yeah, you should like figure it out on your own because you could reset your password using like your phone number or your email.
But that's why you come to us. If you made a mistake and shared your password by mistake, or you went into a website that it was inappropriate, or you got locked out of something, this is the reason why you have to come to us. You have to come to your parents, your guardians, aunts and uncles, brothers, sisters, whoever will be the best person to help you when it comes to navigating the world wide.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And some websites just trick you into saying there's a virus on your phone. So you download an actual virus.
And those
virus.
Are scammers. This is why you have to immediately let us know. So, parents, basic rules to follow. Information you never, never want to share. Your address. your bank account, social security, passwords. If it looks fishy, it probably is.
You could probably expose them by just like pretending to fall with it and then just catch them in 4K and then just report them immediately.
Catch them in 4K?
Yep. You got caught.
Not 4K. In 720p.
So you catch them in...
Not in 1030.
Catch them in high definition?
High definition.
Yeah, just you screenshot it, send it to some... Like, report it to a moderator.
To moderate?
The moderator.
Yeah, moderator.
Yeah, a moderator.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll just get banned.
And they'd be able to get banned.
Yeah, because then they could just take your money or something. You share your IP address, they come to your house and probably do something.
Which is something you do not want to happen.
You don't want that to happen.
Like, that money can help you throughout life. You do not want to lose that money.
Robux, you don't want to do that.
Like, email. Your email is, like, the main source where you can get everything, your bank account, everything. You do not want that to happen. It hasn't happened to me, but I'm just saying, if I was to have my, like, personal account, money, bank address, home address leaked in the world?
Yeah, that's not
I've
good.
Even had people coming to my house.
Nobody's coming. Money.
Nobody's coming to your house.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a YouTuber, if you're a YouTuber, which is not related, but still, if you're a YouTuber and someone just comes to your house, they probably just found your IP address. Like, oh my gosh, my kids are such a big fan.
All right, so let's go back, take a step back, right? When we're focusing on the basic rules, right?
Yeah.
You always want to continue and monitoring young children, right? The young children, younger than you guys, should always be monitored. But those that are older should be also monitored as well. Because why? They are the most vulnerable population, okay? And they're not susceptible to scams, the bullying, and misinformation.
Yeah, they're clueless. Like, they don't really know what to do.
Right, because they're younger. But also, along with the older generation adults that are not too savvy with technology, you have to monitor them as well because they're, again, they're another source.
They're the vulnerable ones.
They're so the elderly are the most vulnerable because they'll have their information online and they'll probably get information taken from them. They probably don't know better. So this is why you have to educate both the young and the old, okay? But coming back, thinking about what information should you share, what should you not share, this is why we're trying to focus on internet safety. And that applies across the board. Okay. If it looks fishy, it probably is. Okay. Make sure parents, everybody that's out there listening, please make sure you monitor. Please make sure you keep your passwords locked away and make sure you don't share your passwords with anybody to have access to your information. I can't stress that enough.
And if they do get access, it's something called phishing. It's with a P, by the way. Phishing is when someone, like, you send emails or perpetrating to be from reputable companies in order to induce individuals to reveal personal information like credit cards and passwords. Guys, don't share your stuff to people you don't not trust. Like, you have to talk to someone that's like either like
a even that is tricky because even the people you can trust can be the one to take your information
like,
too.
Like, if I was just not focusing
on that right now, but like, most likely you want to have somebody that you can trust. So moving on to the next topic, we're talking about roadblocks, scams. So Stefan, in the beginning of the episode, you kind of explained to us what Roblox is. So we're going to have like a short video that's going to be discussing the darker side of Roblox. So we want to briefly talk about, an interesting article from IGN that had an interesting report that was talking about an increasing incidence of scams on a popular online game called Roblox and how this particular gaming platform is running a black market of specialty items along with scamming kids for real money. And now the hackers are becoming even more clever, taking information and taking your money.
You could probably get a VPN to like stop fake viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not fake, but like viruses appearing like on websites. Like, your phone's about to be hacked. Download this VPN right now.
Mm-hmm. What's a fake virus? Because viruses aren't fake.
Well, they can send you fake viruses.
They can steal information. But that's what phishing is.
Viruses itself aren't fake, but the thing that they're promoting is fake. That's what you're trying to say.
Right, they're sending you a fake virus to make so that you could open it and access to make believe that you're downloading the antivirus software.
Yeah, so if you just open it, it'll just download it, and then you'll actually get a virus, which will... Well, not really a virus, but it'll give them access to your information.
which no one wants.
Yeah, no. Nobody wants that.
All right, so now we're going to get back to this video, and you're going to listen carefully to what IGN is saying.
But it's also home to a thriving underworld that's the subject of a growing outcry amid Roblox's booming profits. IGN recently investigated this world, delving into Discord communities teeming with illicit content as swindlers offloaded troves of plundered goods. We met the teenage hackers who are generating more than $2,000 per week by scamming kids, many of whom are teenagers themselves, and we talked to the victims. What we found was a game that seems innocent enough on its face, but in many ways is built to foster the kind of predatory underground that has increasingly landed in the headlines. I'm Damon Hatfield, and here's what we know.
Oof.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong business then. If I can make $2,000 a week scamming little kids, should I be doing that?
No.
No.
It's malicious, but it's the right idea.
We can get more than that if you get promoted at work. You can make a lot more than that.
Why would you want to?
Here's the thing. What they said is that this particular game, there is not only adults that are scamming, it's the kids that are scamming other kids.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So how are the parents having any sort of control or monitoring their own kids that could be your age, 13, 14, 15, that are scamming maybe kids that are your age, 7, 8, 9, 10, using this platform? Now, again, we understand that Roblox is a very popular gaming platform that it's generated $500 million in profit.
What?
Stocks have gone through the roof.
You guys are making it more richer by buying Roblox.
Exactly. Millions of players all over the world are very familiar and are very engaged with this game, and it keeps on growing in popularity and profits. So the story stems from this particular article and this video clip saying that the hackers and the scammers are earning a pretty penny when it comes to finding these innocent kids and, you know, that are there really to play for the joy of it. And it's slowly spiraling out of control because there is no way of censoring this game itself. There's no way of censoring it because why is it so many people, so many things are going on at the same time? How is it that we can censor that? How can we make sure that you guys are navigating through Roblox safely?
You won't catch me for that.
That's the thing. Not everybody can be as savvy as you or understand the importance of, you know, recognizing a scam.
Right. They're not aware.
Right. So now in order for you to protect yourself, this is why some people get VPNs. What is a VPN? Right. It's a virtual private network. So in layman's terms, so I could make it more understandable for everyone, it's a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. In other words, you're concealing a connection between you and the internet to protect your data and identity by hiding your IP address, which is your internet protocol. So think of it as a cell phone. So the internet and your computer gives you an address. That's what's your IP address. So like you have your cell phone number, every device here has an IP address. So when you activate your VPN, you're basically blocking all your data and information from being traceable.
Or at least access.
Or at least access to it.
Right.
What's good about a virtual private network is you can select the location you want people to see.
When it comes to defining these different words. So Agent already defined phishing. Stefan already talked about the use with Discord and chats and things like that. Andres has now defined a VPN where you can go ahead and hide your identity for your protection and the protection from other hackers. So one of the questions that come into mind, how can these scams be prevented and how can you recognize one?
I think you probably recognize one by like seeing if it looks like not like fishy with a P, but like fishy with an F. Because like you don't just find like unusual things like normally, right? So if you're to stumble across, you know, maybe like, ooh, what kind of what cookie says with our Roblox? Like, ooh, earn free money from going to this super rare casino that you can't get from any other place. That's kind of obvious. But some scammers can sound really convincing. Like, what if you got like an email from your bank? It's not actually your bank, but it's like a fake email of the bank. They could potentially be getting your credit cards. Like, what if like saying, ooh, can I have your credit card credentials again? Just to check. And then boom, your card's gone. Right. Money's gone.
So you don't want to do that. So what used to be a popular email we used to get back in the day, Andres? Do you remember?
Back in the days?
Yeah. What was the famous email scam that everybody got?
I think it was the AOL. The joint AOL?
No.
Do you know?
No.
Internet
you don't remember the famous email from Zimbabwe, from Africa, that you have to call this person and email that and we will give you $100 million.
Those are the chain letter spams, right?
Do you remember those letters?
Yeah. I never believed it.
Yeah. Why? Because it just seemed outrageously ridiculous. But there are other people that have fallen for that scam.
Yep.
There have been times that people have fallen for that. So if you see something that's unusual, what would you think is, how would you prevent a scam? What do you think that you would recognize, Stefan, that might, you know, if it looks fishy, it probably is.
You keep thinking.
Okay. So what are your thoughts and understanding of these types of scams that are happening in Roblox, that this predatory practices of other kids scamming other kids? What is your thoughts and understanding of, and why do you think that this is happening?
Probably because teens are so desperate for money.
That is a really good answer, actually.
That's a really great answer.
I would probably do the same, to be honest.
Wait, you would?
I wouldn't like do the same, as in like have malicious intent like they do. Like, I'd probably do it for like a few bucks, but like have it as like a job. Like, not like a job, but like a place where you earn $2,000 a week.
Some of them were earning up to 10K a week.
That is crazy.
That's a lot of money.
Like, that is a lot.
That's a lot of money for a teenager.
Yeah, but my thing is, how are they pulling these scams off? That's my thing.
You have to sound really convincing, because if you don't sound convincing enough, they won't fall for it.
Yeah, but that goes back to the family technology contract. If you never met this person in real life, how convincing can they be?
But not everyone knows
that. They don't have a contract. We have a contract.
But no. I'm saying,
they don't have a family contract.
I'm saying, not that we have a contract. Going back to this technology contract, here, it's in black and white. It says here, do not share photos or personal information with people that you have not met in real life. Okay, if I've never met you in real life, why am I going to share my credit card information with you?
You wouldn't. You have to trust
them. But some people would. That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is, like, some people are really young and not aware. That's the thing.
Right.
They don't have awareness of that. And I think some of the, like, the scams that happen, they're like little kids that aren't aware. I think, like, during the IGN video that we watched, we noticed that this little girl, I think he got, like, a lot of money, Robux for her birthday. And then she was really happy. And then I think I don't know what the guy asked, but she got her credit card, not her mother's credit card, and her Robux completely gone.
Right.
So then she was really sad. And then she was one of the victims of the scammers. Mm-hmm. So would I feel bad? Yes.
What do you mean?
Like, the second, there's like no, there's like a no, you know, like a yes. It'll be a yes. Because I personally have fallen for one of these, not money, like real money scams, but like in-game scams. That kind of segues to a little embarrassing. The time I got scammed in Bubblegum Simulator.
Oh, so this must be good.
Stop. Yeah, I'm just, this is this little disclaimer. This was like 3 to 4 years ago. I don't fall for these anymore. The one time I got scammed from Bubblegum Simulator, he was like, hey kid, you want better pets? And he gave me this, and I will give you this, better pets and Robux. So I think I remember I had to join his group to like gain access to it. And it was a little funny. I didn't know at the time because I was pure and innocent. So I didn't really know anything, and I just kind of fell for anything because, you know, when you're young and you don't have any
you're still younger, you could still fall for stuff.
And innocenter back then.
You're not making any sense.
He's saying when he was more younger, more innocent.
Well, either way, he got scammed. He got.
But yeah, he said that if I gave him these certain pets, that I would like get some Robux. And you know how little kids are always get it if they have Robux and they don't have it, they would do anything for Robux. Stefan did anything for Robux. I do anything for Robux.
No,
not now though. Wouldn't. You would. Yeah, I joined his group, and then after that, I gave him his pets, and he left immediately. He followed me, but then he unfollowed me. So I looked at my followers, and I couldn't find him. I was like, where is he? Where is he? And I told you guys, like a really long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and I looked, and I'm like,
wow.
I started crying. Like,
how good were the pets?
The pets, like, back then, when Bubblegum Playman was, like, at the peak of its popularity, they were, like, the best pets that I thought they were. And I started crying, and then when my friends were playing it, I told them, yeah, I'm scammed with Bubblegum Playman. You can't see the crying in chat, but that's how I was feeling.
And then were
these pets exclusive?
They weren't exclusive. They were just part of the game. But like, you really wanted the pet, then like.
But then did your friend just give you a better one?
And they actually did. They gave me better pets, and I was happy again. And
so scam other people because you were sad
to make them feel bad.
But it wasn't pity points. It was just me being sad, and they had pity points for me without actually having contentions of being for them pitying me.
Oh, but boy.
I was really sad. They gave me the pets, and I was really happy. And I never fell for another scam after that.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know how to explain that.
But yeah, that was a very funny, but also sad experience.
See,
but it was awakening. It was awakening because I never fell for anything.
Yeah, but now.
But that's a good lesson. It's a good lesson. But now.
We could laugh at it.
We don't find anything funny about it. But. Again, parents, we cannot emphasize that you have to continue monitoring your kids. You have to make sure that you have their best interests at hand. And you have to understand that the internet is tricky. You know, not everybody's very savvy. You have to make sure you understand that when it comes to these particular games like Roblox or any types of Xbox or PlayStation, things like that, some of these games are, you know, they're played with real money. And this is the reason why they're making so many profits. So you have to be super, super careful when people are either doing scams, checking emails, IP, VPNs, two-step verifications, phishing, things of that. It's super important to understand the safety that you have to continue and be vigilant when it comes to navigating the World Wide Web. So we want to talk about the next topic. We're going to talk about TikTok.
TikTok.
So there is a big controversy about wanting to ban TikTok. So what are your thoughts on this?
I would be sad for me because, like, I also feel kind of sad for others because some people have to cycle their own, like, job and platform. And it's, like, kind of sad because some people, like, they can't really afford to make it out there without having, like, a real job. So it's kind of like really sad.
So they only really depend on social media?
I don't feel bad.
I don't. Okay.
But people make money.
Ouch. What do you mean you don't feel bad?
I don't feel bad.
People you make don't feel money. Bad for the people that are on TikTok, or you don't feel bad that TikTok's going to be banned?
So, no, but I don't feel bad for people that are dancing on TikTok. They go, it's tonight. To do all these trends. I don't feel bad.
But you don't have to feel bad for people that are dancing, but people promote their businesses on TikTok.
That's different. You promote your business, that's different.
So maybe the people that are promoting their...
Like Charlie D'Amelio.
But white girl dancing.
For real?
We're losing focus here on why TikTok was created. TikTok was created by a Chinese company.
It's because, like, almost everything in the world is designed by China.
Made in China.
Including this phone.
Right. So the way we use TikTok, or the way they are letting us use TikTok, is for enjoyment. In China, they're using it for educational purposes.
Educational?
Yes. So all the kids in China, what they see is for education, is to learn something from it, from schools and stuff like that. What we have it here is because everything is trending, everybody's dancing. So they pick and choose what we want to see on these apps.
I think they sort about what you watch the most.
Right, and they pick and choose what goes viral.
They call it a For You page because it's for you.
Right.
So if you had any idea of what the use of TikTok is, you're saying basically it's for entertainment, not necessarily for business banding and
right.
building and things like that. That's not the purpose of TikTok.
No, it's supposed to, it's like a platform where you can, like, make your own, like, trends. or just do like similar trends or do actual trends.
Mm-hmm.
And get like a lot of followers and become like
so
like,
anything really in terms of trending, because TikTok is not the place where you would do what?
Collaborate.
No, you do collaborate on TikTok.
No, elaborate.
Okay, so if TikTok is only used for the purposes of entertainment, business people or however people are doing their businesses are using TikTok as a platform in order to promote their business.
That's what ads are for.
Mm. Yeah, they have ads on TikTok.
They're a little annoying.
Do you even think that banning TikTok is even a possibility in the United States?
Probably.
I think it is.
Because the U.S. has gotten into many conflicts a lot of times. Like, it's been very scary. Not for me, though. But the U.S. has gotten into many conflicts and it's kind of just repetitive all the time. They always have stuff about controversy and then this person... They canceled, and in reality, it's like this person did nothing wrong, and all that. So, it's a possibility, but from like a TikTok perspective, like someone who uses it like pretty much every day, I don't think it might get.
If they use it every day for entertainment purposes, or do they use it every day for other purposes? It could be either malicious or educational.
I felt like the role and reason of TikTok in the U.S. is here. I feel like it was for entertainment because technically TikTok before used to be Musical.ly. People used to dance on there. But since it got updated,
right.
They stopped
TikTok,
using it for
TikTok
dancing.
TikTok bought Musical.ly and pretty much just released it as TikTok.
Mm. So let's say they do ban TikTok. How would this affect social media's presence as a whole, though?
Well, since people are like really popular and they have over like probably 1 billion followers, well, probably less than that, because I don't know anyone that has 1 billion followers, but... I mean, but if they are if they do start a business, then they can get a lot of money just like making like videos about like financial stuff, like money, and different topics would you rather want $1 million right now or have a penny that doubles every day? So someone would choose the penny and someone just choose $1 million.
Right, but because it's about compound, right?
Yeah, because they don't really think about it because like you can get like a lot more than $1 million if you have a penny that doubles
every day, right? Mm-hmm. But again, we're getting off topic because as social media's presence, if TikTok is banned, how is social media seen as a whole? Will we be missing the entertainment element from TikTok?
Yes, I would miss it a lot.
There's always going to be another app developer that will create something else. We have MySpace. Facebook took over MySpace. Just dominated it. Still
so,
here.
So, but, okay,
then we
but,
had Vine. And then what happened then? Facebook started doing shorts.
Then we started having Instagram.
And
after
then
Vine.
Snapchat.
Then Snapchat. We have Snapchat still. And then after this, now we have TikTok. So there's always going to be somebody making another app.
TikTok was just endless shorts. Right.
But there hasn't been another app like Facebook, because Facebook is still popular, to override the throne for social media king.
Oh, Google Meet?
What?
Well, that's not necessarily social media. Social media is really where there's a community in place. There's people that are interacting with one another.
People you never met.
People that might have met in real life. But it's really about outreaching to different communities. So if what will be next for TikTok if it is banned in the US?
I bet that it might like come back, maybe. There might be like people on YouTube creating a lot more like videos, like
more content.
Like a lot more content. Cause some people have passions for like YouTube and content and like creators. Cause you know, like when me and Stefan were younger, or like something like people like when like the newer generation of kids, when they're like probably when they're younger, they're like, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. I want to make these things with like their friends and stuff, right? So when they want to do that, they want to have influence in the world, right? Because people think that they can change everything. There's a lot of popular people that are on YouTube that make a lot of money, and
Making money on YouTube is a lot harder than people think. Making money on TikTok is a lot harder than people think.
Well, it is harder for people. But sometimes people use TikTok and then they use other platforms for like TikTok to get them to know.
So TikTok is the bridge between other social media.
It kind of is because they have like, you have like Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook,
Snapchat.
Those can like go like soup into that because TikTok is like, TikTok has like a lot of promoting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a promotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like an ad, like what you guys were saying. An ad that people use to expand on what they want to do. But also TikTok itself is for entertainment for a lot of people. So it depends on what the intentions of the person is doing.
Absolutely. But I'm trying to think of it as a whole in terms of social media. Now, parents, again, we're trying to, how do we help navigate internet safety when it comes to TikTok? There have been times that there has been appropriate content that are TikTok because now some people can lie about their age and think it still have access to mature information, like mature content. Are you over the age of 18? Will you be able to see this? There could be things that we still have to monitor. We still have to put tabs on how we navigate through the internet. So I know that there's another interesting article, if you want to pull that up, that talks about TikTok being banned.
There's bipartisan calls up on Capitol Hill as it relates to TikTok and the national security implications of it. You have Congressman Ken Buck saying, if you see the CCP surveillance balloon scares you, wait until you hear about TikTok. Senator Michael Bennett had recently called on the CEOs of Apple and Google to remove TikTok from their devices, from their Google Play stores and Apple Play Store. Does the administration believe that TikTok is a national security threat, and does it believe that those apps should be removed from phones?
So look, the president of the Biden administration, more broadly, has never allowed TikTok on the White House devices. Other federal agencies have similar restriction. We have been clear about our concerns on apps like TikTok. And so, look, we are focused on the challenges of certain countries, including China, seeking to leverage digital technologies and Americans' data in ways that present unacceptable national security risk. I'm just not going to get ahead of it. As we know, there's a review currently happening, but we take this very seriously. And as I said, the Biden administration has never allowed TikTok on the White House devices.
So, what are your thoughts? What did you get from that video? So they're saying that TikTok is now a source of national
security.
Data breach.
How would it be security though?
Because when the minute you sign up to TikTok, you're allowing them to take your information and store it into their servers.
So how come VPNs don't work at this point?
Well, probably because you don't have an IP on TikTok.
It
does. TikTok.
It can. But when you start TikTok, you have to create your username and password, and you have to agree to all the agreements, you know, before you proceed.
Before you make a TikTok?
No, before you create your account. When you create your account, you're checking off. Select all that apply to create your account.
I know, but you said before you create a TikTok, not a TikTok account.
I said TikTok account.
No, you didn't. At first, you said TikTok.
Doesn't matter right now.
Doesn't matter. But first, you create a TikTok. You have to log in. You have to create your username and password. You have to create an account first. So before you proceed to start using TikTok, you have to agree to all the fine print.
And I know 110% of you do not sit down and read the fine print.
Nobody reads the fine print.
So there's probably something in the stipulation saying that we will have access to all your information. We are allowing you to download our information. However,
And I'm pretty for sure 100% they own all intellectual property that goes on TikTok.
So
I bet that there's probably like one person that I have hope in that reads the fine print. I think there was one person that read TikTok's actual updates.
Mm-hmm.
He like kind of helped people a lot because no one really knew like what the updates were, why it's happening, why this was happening. So I think reading the fine print that no one cares about could be helpful to avoid getting any information leaked or like anything that the company can do to your phone that you can't do to your own phone. So it's kind of based on what the app can do
and what type of information they have access to.
Like, for example, if you get the Dunkin' Donuts app, that app, you can have access to your location.
But that's because you're giving them permission, right? Because you have to sign up for that account.
Consent.
Ding, ding. Give this man a round of applause. Give that man a round of applause, please. Thank you.
Consent.
So we have to understand that when we are giving this type of consent, that we are allowing ourselves to be more vulnerable for information to be leaked. So now with this follow-up with Congress, they're asking for Google Play and Apple Store to remove the app itself for TikTok. And it, again, is counted as a security breach and is also called a crisis of privacy, which is being violated because they're allowing China, the manufacturer of TikTok, to really come in and take all that information. But in the news of this week, there was a China sky balloon. So if there's, if you can pull up that information for and explaining what that was about.
All right. Now we're going to talk about the China spy balloon. So recently, the U.S. shot down what they claim is supposed to be a spy balloon that was hovering over the U.S. It kind of came into our airspace. So the U.S. felt like it was a spying device from China. China claims it wasn't a spying device. It was a meteorology balloon, a weather balloon, pretty much a weather balloon that kind of traveled into our airspace.
That sounds like a scam to me.
That's not really convincing.
Convincing?
Yeah. I mean, there's like the wind. I mean, there's like the, what are they called? Like the arrow on the top of some houses that like point in the direction of the wind, like where
so,
it's called.
Yeah. So where pressure, wind, atmospheric pressure, whatever you want, clouds, whatever you want to call it. Coming all the way from China, and it ended up in the Midwest? That
can't be a coincidence.
Is it a coincidence, or is it really something that somebody was dumb enough to let a balloon just kind of go? It was immediate. Or maybe it could have happened.
Also, do they mean like the literal sense like a balloon?
It's literally a balloon.
You're joking, right?
I'm not even
joking. But it says the balloon was the size of the Statue of Liberty. It was bigger than the Statue of Liberty.
How?
The balloon is believed to have been up to 200 feet tall. Officials said it height taller than the New York's iconic monument, which measures just over 151 feet tall. The balloon, which officials said was carrying a surveillance equipment the size of 2 to 3 school buses, was shot down over the weekend after it had been seen flying over the U.S. for several days. It was taken out of the airspace at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. Officials told CBS News with a single air-to-air missile over the Atlantic Ocean off the South Carolina's coast. And here's a picture of them retrieving some of the stuff right now.
That's big.
That is crazy.
That's scary. That's like, how do you like another, like, more, another place?
So now, because of this incident,
it China is kind of like reconfirming about the whole situation with TikTok. Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah, so now, this was from China, now the U.S., they see TikTok as a national threat, security threat, digital warfare.
That's kind of scary.
Parents, we cannot emphasize the importance of internet safety. So how can we, the parents, make sure to help our kids stay safe? So on this, I wanted to see if you can help us with that. What are some of the tips? What are some of the things we can do in addition to the family technology contract we talked about earlier before?
You can help your kids to be safe. You could, number one, you can establish households' best practices for online safety. So like we said earlier, number one, do not store any credit card information. We suggest to use gift cards so that way you guys could buy stuff online.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number two, create and store all online login information in a password manager. You can either write them down in a notes or in your Microsoft Word document, or they have apps you could download to say store your passwords, username and password.
Okay, well, what if someone hacked into your account and then, like...
That's why you'd be aware.
That's a good question. Yeah, because if you have a notebook of, like, all your emails and passwords and other stuff...
Listen, if there's a will, there's a way. You know, a hacker's going to always hack something.
You should probably write it down.
The hacker's going to hack, no way.
You should just
write it down on an actual piece of paper, so then if you get hacked, like, all of it won't be lost. So
what if you lose that piece of paper now? You're screwed.
Put an AirTag on it.
Are you? What?
Why would you spend the time to put an AirTag on a piece of paper?
On a thin piece of paper
that makes no sense.
Well, but a lot of these softwares, you could encrypt it. So that way, they don't have to hack it. It'll be harder for them to hack it.
What if you can't trust the software?
I'm pretty sure a lot of these apps that do password protection pretty much are encryption.
They probably have another set of layers of safety in terms of that.
Or maybe they're acting like they have a layer of safety to actually get your account info.
Oh, see? I like my man. Thing.
Right.
Number three. You don't trust nobody.
Way too deep.
Number three. Keep the antivirus software running in the background on your computer.
No, I don't trust antiviruses because it could be an actual virus.
Well, if it's legit.
It's called an antivirus for a reason.
Right. If you purchase it from like a computer store, you're legit. You're good.
Purchase an antivirus?
An antivirus is not a virus.
From the store. What? As opposed to buying it online? I don't get what you mean.
If you buy it online, somebody sends you a link in your email.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't
buy it from your email. Just go to Best Buy, go to Microsoft
Go to a reputable store.
A reputable store and buy your antivirus software.
Okay. If you just see someone sending you a link that sends you to a virus.
Just don't press it.
Yeah, don't press it.
Exactly.
Don't press it.
Just put it into junk, just report it, and then you just skip in.
Keep it moving.
Yep.
Number four, do not download apps that aren't from Google Play or Apple Store.
But then we just got the report to saying they're trying to remove TikTok from Google Play and the Apple Store.
No, right. There aren't. Don't download from apps that aren't in the Apple Store or Google Store.
But how?
This is saying to only buy apps from the Apple Store or Play Store.
Oh, okay.
Any unverified other sources.
But how would it be external? How would you get other apps from it?
That's what I'm asking.
What Apple lets you do is they're just called, because I use it all the time. It's a developer.
Why are you using it?
It'll be as an unidentified app. So, but the computers allow you to approve it. If you know it's a legit source, you can approve the unidentified app.
Like an Oculus headset?
The Play Store.
Like an Oculus headset?
Yes.
Because if you have like an Oculus headset, there'll be like unknown sources. So you have to actually allow it. So you have to control it. Move your cursor onto the source. You have to confirm so you can play it.
Gotcha.
All right, the last one that says use extreme caution when clicking links from people you don't know.
That's the basic thing you should know all the time. You don't just click something that...
Nope. Don't instant junk report it. Move on.
Just go on with your day. Just ignore it. Try to ignore it.
I want to add another one. You know, monitor engagement on social media platforms. So monitor your kids' social media. I think that's a big one.
Okay. So here's what we will do. We're going to talk about that on your podcast in terms of the Tech Aficionados podcast and talking about what are different ways and means of how you can monitor your kids safely through apps or through technology.
Yes.
Another thing I want to talk about is focusing on empowerment, right? You want to create a trusting environment. You want to give children some sort of leeway on the internet, but you want to give the freedom, but you still want to put them on a leash.
Yep.
Right?
What is that? I know like a leash to like not let them go too far.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, the deep web leash. That's a smart way of saying it.
But the thing is that if we create a trusting environment that we build you and we give you the information you need for you to better understand the differences between the scams and things like that, then that's how you create that trusting environment. So guys, let's take it from the top. We're here comes to the end of our episode, and we want to just do a quick rundown of some of the topics we spoke about in the beginning. So in the beginning, we talked about the family contract. We want to make sure that you write these stuffs down. You have access to that document so you could take a look at it and discuss it with your kids. Just a basic rundown about that information that makes it easier for you guys to feel safe and for everybody else navigating the internet. We also talked about Roblox scams.
Yep.
You got to be super, super careful when you're playing these platform games. You want to make sure that you get the information that you need, but also play safely online. We also talked about the possibility of TikTok being banned. What will the U.S. do next if TikTok is being banned?
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
They'll probably make a second version of it.
Well, we'll see about that. And then wrapping it up, we want to continue giving the tips and giving you the advice so that you guys can continue to navigate the internet safely on all levels.
As a unit.
As a unit. Guys, I want to thank you for participating with us today. I want you guys to continue listening. And Stefan, can you take us out?
Okay. Table for Four, a family conversation podcast talking about all things family. Listen to past episodes about health, culture, stories, and much more. All new episodes are out every Wednesday on all platforms. Do not forget to watch full episodes of School Commute Convos on YouTube. Also, join us for live sessions streaming live on Wednesdays.
You can find us on all these platforms, such as Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Breaker Radio, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible, Castro, Podchaser, Pandora, and YouTube, or find us wherever you listen to your podcasts. And do not forget to follow, like, and share on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Table for Four. We'll catch up with you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
This is Table for Four, a family conversation podcast.
Hey, this is Stephanie.
This is Andre.
This is Adrian.
And this is your boy, Stefan.
And this is Table for Four, a family conversation podcast. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. We love you.
See you on the next episode. We'll be right back.